So after a successful fantasy baseball draft over the past weekend, we now look forward to the real deal coming Sunday night. Excited?
I am, actually. I am. I think, you know, I think in honor of opening day, us recording this during the day, right?
Yeah,
old school Wrigley, yeah. Right? Normally it's nighttime. It's dark. All the
lights
are out.
On. Yeah.
I'm curled up in a ball in my bathroom. This is a bright change of pace for me.
Okay, so now we've got, it is exciting time. To me, this feels like it's Christmas. You get that level of excitement. And I think in any sport, but baseball for me, it's one of those things where you can get excited because it's a long season and things can happen over the course of time. So even if your team starts out a little slow, you can still pick up things. And so it's like Christmas morning. There's that level of excitement. Any team can win. But in football, if you lose the first two or three games,
you're done. On Christmas, any team can win? What about Jews?
Maybe.
No, you know what? It's more like, John, it's more like you start dating, I wouldn't say a new girl because we're both married, but when you start dating a girl, it's like that excitement.
Yes, that right? First 6 months of excitement.
And right, like there's...
Then the wheels come off.
Well, yes. In the case of 29 teams, the wheels will come off.
Yeah. Only
one team is going to get married.
Right. At the end of the day, everybody's left behind, except for one.
But the good news is it's a divorceless marriage that lasts an eternity. Flags fly forever, my friend.
Yes,
you can't divorce flags.
Nope.
And even in Trump's America.
No. But I think that, you know, one of the things that, again, it's a fan in any sport is going to feel the same way. But with baseball, even when the Mariners and the Marlins don't make it to the playoffs, it's still exciting. I still get into it. There are certain people in other sports, especially football. Football fans are kind of like hardcore. They hate everybody else but their team, and they really don't root, or they'll root against the team that beat them, or they'll root against, you know, a team that they hate. You know, when my teams are out in baseball, I just want to see quality games. And like the World Series last year was phenomenal. The playoffs were great. Yeah. The World Series was phenomenal. It just is. It's an awesome time.
Well, I wonder if that's anecdotal, because that's how it feels for me too. But I wonder what the statistics are on that. Whether which fan base of any sport
that would
continues
be interesting
to follow the sport, even if their home team is out of the. You could probably do like some sort of.
There's probably something
thing,
out
right?
there.
You could probably just correlate it to ratings.
Could be, yeah, yeah.
But then it would be like, well, it's hard. You couldn't do it exactly because there could be like the Cubs Indians. I'm sure the ratings on all that was pretty great, but nationwide the. People will be very interested in the Cubs story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was huge.
Whereas not necessarily people excited about the Falcons story in the NFL.
Right.
And they were certainly not out how that story ended, which was one of the great tragedies in the sports
world. In Atlanta's history.
Yes. And they've had some tragedies.
As a city, yes. So anyway, I am John Sumple, at John Sumple on Twitter. And he's Jed Rigney, at Jed Rigney on Twitter. And this is Fall Territory. And
first of all, John, kudos.
That you didn't have to prompt me?
I didn't have to prompt you. You did both names and the name of the show. You know what? This is the sort of quality that people are going to come to expect, and now we're screwed.
Well, the other thing, too, is I was about to also promote the website, the fall-territory.com. We now will be posting all of our podcasts on its own dedicated website.
Yes.
As well as content.
Hold on. To be clear, it's foul, then the symbol for the dash, not the word dash.
Right, correct.
Foul dash territory was not available, so we actually had to use the symbol.
So is that like boulder dash?
Yes, foul exactly. Dash? Foul dash.
We'll have to add that to the lexicon.
Yes. Or you know what? We'll just put in a bid to get that name.
I'll
spend $5,000. Foul dash. That's what the site should have been called.
Foul dash territory. That would have, I'm sure that's available.
You know what, John? It probably is.
Okay, we don't have a bit this week, right?
No bit. But you know what? Today's show is brought to you by Sunshine.
For you?
For me.
The sun was out actually over the weekend in Seattle, and this has been, in my 8 years in Seattle, the by far the grayest winter. where the sun came out last Thursday, I think, for the first time in 3 or 4 weeks, and people were like, what is that shiny thing in the sky? Turn it off.
I'm telling you, man, Trump's America.
Yeah, it's
he
it's,
signed that EPA thing, and then next thing you know, it's always cloudy in Seattle.
The lights went out.
So
we're talking a little bit about opening day, and then, you know, you had a nice little segue there for talking about Trump's America.
Yes.
And in Trump's America, the president does not throw out the first pitch on opening day.
Right. Now, here's the thing. I'm not really sure he was invited, and this is, I think, win-win for everybody, right? First of all, we're not sure if his little hands can even get around a baseball. Second, I just love that little hands thing so much. I have other legitimate complaints but that about how he's been harassed. Is that the word? Harassed? But the hands thing I just think is spectacular. But anyway, so it's weird because maybe he doesn't want to do it, or maybe no team really wants to have him come out because it's like, well, that's going to cause a problem.
Right. And I think with him coming out, that takes away from the game. It becomes a completely different story. He'll have some sort of an attitude thing to say, and if people booed him, that's what the main reason why he's not going is because,
well, you know who's
going to
boo? It's just the haters and the losers, John.
The majority of the U.S.
No, here's the thing. What's fascinating to me about your sentence there was that in the previous whatever 100 years, the United States president has thrown out the first pitch on opening day, or a first pitch on opening day, and no one cares. And yeah, now
it's an afterthought.
Now it's just an afterthought. Like, did anyone care? Like, who shared that story on Facebook last year? Like, oh my gosh, did you guys see Obama came out? He threw, oh, it's a little high and outside, but he'll do better next year.
Right. Good thing, like, he didn't wear his mom jeans.
Right. Like, no one cares.
No.
This year, it would have been like, there would have been nonprofit organizations started to prevent and to enable it. Like, it would have been a whole thing.
And it's a no-win situation for him. If he goes, he gets negative press. If he doesn't go, he gets negative press. So don't go.
If he goes and he throws a strike, a la George Bush, after the 9/11. I mean, that was one of the most incredible moments in this country.
Yeah, with the jacket on. And
yeah, like the, regardless of what you think of that dude. That was an amazing moment in America and baseball and freedom and all that stuff and grass and fields and
Piazza
condiments.
Hit that home run in that game.
Yeah,
that,
like,
was just
fantastic moment. But let's say Trump comes out and throws a strike. What's the angle? The angle? He spent too much time practicing. What happens
down
if he throws and he misses?
Mar-a-Lago.
Mar-a-Lago. He's got a little mound set up, right? 60 feet, 6 inches. He's ready to go.
And he spent $60 million for it.
Right. You know, paid for by taxpayers, you know?
Or Russian money laundering.
Those damn Russians. Or what if while he's throwing it, the Russians hack the pitch?
Right.
And all of a sudden it veers off to the right and hits somebody. Just saying, you never know.
Commies.
This is America.
So Trump, we probably won't be seeing him on any diamond in the near future. I would not expect that.
Probably not.
Although I did, when I was looking to see if there, what type of news was out there. Of course, again, he says no, he's not going to do it. But he also tweeted back in 2012 or 13 when the Nats shut down Strasburg, that dumb move by the Nats, they're definitely going to lose. He had a whole bunch of Twitter comments. It's like, really?
Wait a minute. But he was right about that.
He was.
I completely disagreed with the Nationals shutting down Steven Strasburg.
They lost their chance to win the World Series with that.
Yes. That window closed that year. That was it. Like, every other team since then has gotten smart about how to deal with their starter that's in a similar situation.
Right.
And Strasburg, guess what? Still wound up having more injury problems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Though he did just sign a $200 million deal. So
he's laughing all the way to the bank.
So he won. He's not a hater or a loser. But I will say, Trump was bang on about the Nationals that year.
He was good. So we'll give him some credit for that.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
He deserves a little bit of credit here and there, right?
I'm tired of talking about him. Let's talk about something
else. Let's move on. Okay, so now we've got Yadier Molina getting close. That's, like, been a lot of news headlines about You know, one of the highlights, let's go rewind last week to the World Baseball Classic. After the game was over, he was in pain. He was so upset that they lost the game.
Yeah.
And you could see
him. Well, it's 2 years in a row for them, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then they lost to the Dominican last year. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about the World Baseball Classic, but I just happen to know that.
So, yeah, he's one of those players that he is a foundation. He is a unifier. Players love him. Fans right. love him. Owners love him. I mean, there's not much right. not to like about the guy. So,
but it's the Cardinals, getting, right? Like, so are they going to do a Pujols on him? I thought they were just going to let him go. They have a great prospect coming yes. up behind him, Carson Kelly. Mm-hmm. But now they're talking about an extension, and the numbers I'm hearing, John, are big numbers, like $20 million a year.
Really?
Yeah, because he's on 15 or 14 this year, but an average of 15. And they're talking about 20. Someone was even saying 23 a year.
That would be fiscally irresponsible.
Wouldn't that be crazy? Like, the guy's a two wins above yeah. replacement guy, right? So mm-hmm. he should get 16, maybe 15, and he's gonna get worse. He had a little uptick last year, but catchers don't get better as they get older.
No, well, there's serious decline and very quickly.
Yeah, and usually they just, you know, and they go off a cliff. Like, it's just now they can't hit or do anything.
Right, and there's no DH for him to fall into.
Right, exactly.
Not that he's the type of bat you'd want in a DH scenario, but...
Yes, it's a light hitting... it's good. Good numbers. Good on-base percentage last year. Solid. But, oof.
Yes.
Everyone's numbers were up last year, and so were his.
Yeah, speaking of declining, what's up yeah. with Wade Davis?
Right, so the big move for the Cubs, and possibly the explanation for why they only had to give up Jorge Soler to get one of the best closers in the league, is Wade Davis might not be one of the best closers in the league. I think he's got like a double digit ERA, right? 14.
That's not a good way to start.
That's bad.
No.
Like, that's really bad. And he's getting hit and hit hard. And, you know, there's the usual sort of the Cubs, it's just spring training and okay, but.
Yeah, but also the Cubs are probably like, yeah, we really don't need him. We'll be fine.
I mean, I guess there's some truth to that, right? They still have Rondon, and I guess if you're looking for cheap saves in your fantasy baseball league, ladies and gentlemen, Hector Rondon might be the guy you want to check out.
Wait a second. Let me write that down.
Who was excellent Rondon. Last year? Do you remember him last year?
Yes. Like
They traded for Chapman, even though he was, and then somehow he got hurt or something. I don't know. Maybe he was just sad that they had traded for a better player. You know, baseball players have feelings too, and they can be hurt. There's no disabled list for an injured feelings.
Well, when you're paying somebody, you know, $15-20 million a year, their feelings are going to hurt a heck of a lot more than the $500,000 minimum
yes.
player. You know,
that's true. That's true. There are feelings and dollars commensurate, proportionate, right? Because also, it's like you take away saves from him, that takes away his arbitration advantage, contract stuff. Anyway, I'm sure that's not why he was injured. But anyway.
And we were talking a little bit in the pre-show meeting, because we have these sophisticated pre-show meetings.
Yes, very sophisticated.
About closers.
Hey, is your microphone working?
And we were talking about specifically closers and how many teams are looking at the closer by committee, which, you know, from the fantasy perspective, really kind of throws things all out of whack, because people in fantasy drafts wind up spending way too much money on someone who might wind up with, you know, 5 to 10 saves during the year.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that were, you know, you go back to, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago when the closer emerged as like you had to have a dominating closer. We've now gotten to the point now where there's only one or two people that are worthy of big dollars.
Right.
And you saw Kimbrel's drop off was unbelievably quick from where he was.
Those walks, man. Oof.
Yeah, and so
stop
you've got
walking dudes.
You've got Chapman and the Dodgers,
Jansen,
who are they're worthy of the money they're being paid. Speaking of
Melanson, is close.
He's close, but
I don't
this
feel like
is
that's
gonna
a
be
bad
a,
signing. But no, that feels like it's gonna be an, bad.
Yeah, it's let's see how he does this year. I think this is a big year for him. Speaking of closer news, Urias Familia was. Dinged 15 games, so he's going to be suspended.
That's official today. Okay.
Official today, dinged 15 games, which I thought was kind of on the low side.
I think the difference between him and Chapman, though, is that Chapman was doing stuff with a gun also.
Yeah, but it was in Miami, so.
Does Florida, does that sort of...
New York, you would... I guess you would be, you'd expect it to be. And you know, it's like brandishing a gun in a domestic dispute, just waving it around for shits and giggles is...
Well, Chapman actually fired his gun in his garage.
Yes.
So I feel like maybe that's the escalator from 15 to 30 days.
And some of the details in the Familia thing was that there was a scrape on the cheek and a bruise. There's a scrape and a bruise.
God, this stuff is just so ugly, man.
Yeah, it's not good.
I would have been happy if they had given him 30 days. I 15 just feels... I mean, I know the union's got to stick up for their
part,
guys, but...
Here's the part that's unfortunate, though. There's a sigh of relief for Mets fans.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, whew, thought it was going to be a lot longer than that. It's like this domestic abuse.
It's just so weird.
Not, yeah. It's
like the whole thing with the Yankees last year when they acquired Aroldis Chapman. It was like, yay, but also, that's weird. It's a weird part of baseball, man.
It
but
is.
They're actually humans playing it. Let's just replace them all with robots, John. Ron the robot that don't commit domestic violence.
Well, there'd probably be some other scandal in the robot world that we'd
probably
uncover as a result of that.
Well, they'd probably take over the planet and kill all the humans, but no domestic violence.
Okay, let's move on to our next headline. Sports Illustrated names Corey Seager as the number one player on the trade value list.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. You know, they've been doing this for a few years now. This might go back to Bill Simmons. I don't know if that's... It feels like it goes back. He had like a... Didn't he have like a basketball trade?
Yes, I remember
list?
That. Mm-hmm.
And then someone else appropriated it for baseball. I feel like he was the first one. And so it's not just the quality of the player, because obviously the best player in baseball is Mike Trout. But Mike Trout is being paid...
A lot, yes.
A lot of money. You know, now it's not,
relatively
it's probably less
speaking.
Than he's worth.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think mathematically, technically what he's worth is somewhere around $60 million a year, which is absurd, but that's what he literally is worth.
It's what the market will bear.
Right. So he, you know, he had signed a nice hometown discount with the Angels and
but
Seager, because it's a low contract. Well, yeah, now he's stuck playing, you know, in Anaheim. So, so Seager has a rookie contract, right? Or not rookie contract. That's an NFL thing. What are they called?
League minimum.
Right? Mm-hmm. So they're giving him whatever.
$500,000, $1 million,
mm-hmm. whatever. Those small numbers. And so because of how good a player he's going to be, or he's projected to be, and how good he is now, and the contract, he's considered number one. So I thought it was interesting. I don't really think of him as being that good, but, you know, he did almost win the MVP last year.
Yeah.
If he had a stronger September and Bryant had a weaker September, they were pretty close up until September.
And it was interesting, too, because, you know, playing in L.A., you would think that he would have gotten a lot more exposure than he did. And it's just, I think it was more a matter of that the Cubs were on a magical ride and all of their, you know, Bryant and Rizzo and everybody kind of rising up and having, except what's his name in the outfield from the Cardinals, who had a horrible year, but cashed it in for $160 million. The outfielder, drawing a blank.
Do you mean Fowler?
No, not Fowler.
Oh, Hayward.
Hayward, yeah.
Yes. Boy, yeah, that's
There's a light of
Chicago. Who cares? They
laughing all the way to the bank. Another player that's, you know, but that's he's like the first player who of the modern era who was valued based on a wide array of metrics, not as opposed to the seeing eye test.
Yeah, the best free agent or the first free agent, right? Because I think Alex Gordon got overpaid based on his defense.
And that was a hometown. They wanted to keep him, too. So I think they overreached a little bit on that as well. And they paid dearly for that last year, too.
Yes, that's a regrettable contract now. So Chris Bryant, and you got to figure, Chris, I didn't look at the rest of the list. Or I guess I did, but I just sort of skimmed through and was just sort of surprised to see Secret number. Bryant's probably two or three, and then Trout's still going to be up there in the two or three. And I think Dave Cameron from Fangraphs, not to plug Fangraphs every week, but why not, since I'm doing stuff with them. He did one last year, and he put Trout as number one, but basically said, like, it was very close to him not being number one. I don't know who his number two was, though. I don't know if it was Seager. But Seager's a great player. And, of course, he plays shortstop and plays it pretty well. So better than people thought. People thought for sure he'd move over to third base. And I think if you put Seager at third, then he's not the number one player on this list. Because
yeah, he's got the Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod profile at short.
Yeah, and he could stay there.
Yeah,
Ripken did.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason why Rodriguez didn't was because he got traded to the Yankees. And
right, and they weren't going to move.
They weren't going to move Jeter. No. And the good news was Jeter wasn't going to move.
He was stuck there.
That's how he plays defense.
Spoken like a true Red Sox fan.
Hey, the man was bad at defense.
He was, but he was...
Great player, Hall of Famer, first ballot.
Yeah, the captain.
Not that good at defense.
Okay, let's move on to, we've got, this is, you know, I thought this was just kind of funny when I first saw this note here, is that the moment we've all been waiting for, Angel Pagan will decide soon where he's playing.
Yes.
And, I was watching the World Baseball Classic, and he's a fiery, passionate player.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of like, where's the love? You know, you would have thought that somebody like that would have found a home already.
He seems like he should have been on a team by now, but I heard it's what down to the Tigers and the Blue Jays. I think the Blue Jays are full outfielders though.
Yeah.
But maybe the Tigers. The Tigers don't have really a center fielder, and they don't. And JD Martinez is out for 6 weeks. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of funny that he still hasn't signed. He's a good player. He hasn't signed with a team yet.
And it's one of those situations, though, is it really a matter of there's no demand for his services, or he's really just holding out for what he, you know, he's one of those players that's reached that level of status that, well, I can wait. I can wait to the last minute to figure out where I'm going to play.
I mean, it's cool if there's one guy that's that guy. I think it gets weirder if there's three. But if you're one guy, you're just waiting for someone to get injured, that's kind of cool, you know? You still make a decent contract, and he's not. No one's going to give him a full time job anywhere.
Well, wasn't it Morales that didn't get signed until like April, end of April? Was it
year? The year before. Right, with the Royals.
Mm-hmm.
Signed. I think they might have signed after the July 1st deadline.
Was it that late? Yeah, no, it was
pretty
late.
Draft pick compensation.
Oh, that's right. And that's a good thing that that's going away too, because
yes, that's
really screwed up a lot of players and agents as well.
Yes. Though I will say it has benefited some players very much,
mm-hmm.
namely Brian Anderson from the Dodgers,
that's
who basically
true.
Got $18 million last year to pitch 8 innings. So because
good deal.
Of that system, yeah.
Good deal.
Also, I want to point out that Angel Pagan, alternate pronunciation. Angel Pagan, alternate pronunciation, Angel Pagan.
Which is it Angel or Angel Pagan? It's Angel. He goes by Angel, right?
Look, he's Hispanic, so it's Angel.
Okay.
But I think they call him Angel.
And I think I called him Angel.
Yeah. I think the broadcasters generally call him Angel.
Yes. Well, there was another player that we found out during the World Baseball Classic that for all these years we were pronouncing his name incorrectly. It was Norichka Aoki.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and it's not Aoki, it's Aoki, and he doesn't want to be called Nori anymore.
Oh.
So it's Aoki, not Aoki.
That's all right,
Aoki.
He won't be in the league much longer.
So everybody who is a big fan out there, we'll make sure that we pronounce his name correctly if he ever makes it onto the list of headlines.
You know what? He's blacklisted.
I was going to say something, but I'm not going to say anything.
Don't be
okay,
racist.
I'll move up. I'm going to move on to what's
There's no
next.
Such thing as a yellow list, John.
It's like you're reading my mind.
What else is there, man?
Let's see.
That's not racist.
This isn't racist. This is kind of weird, maybe. Target's
awesome.
Going to sell MLB diapers created by Jessica Alba's company, and I didn't even know Jessica Alba had a company.
And are these adult diapers or just...
I don't know. Are they for the players?
Because I'm telling you right now, probably the fan base that needs that the most is the Reds and the Padres.
Yes. They're going to be...
They'll be pooping themselves.
Yes. So do you know any details about it? Or is it just one of those headlines that kind of caught
your eye? No, I know that there's five teams, and it's the big ones, right? It's the Dodgers, Red Sox, Yankees, Cubs, and Cardinals.
And it makes sense because people who are fanatics are going to buy this.
Yeah.
They're like, I want to have my kid wearing
Yeah, you know, like, and that's the whole, I think their whole angle is like, look, he's a Cardinals fan from birth. Like, all right. Because he went to Target and bought those. Look, right. If your kid can go to Target and buy stuff, okay, you got yourself the next genius. Don't worry about what team they're a fan of.
Okay, so let's move on to the final headline of the week.
Yes.
Major League Baseball names Nathan's as the brand of its official hot dog.
Yes, because this was the moment we've all been waiting for, I think, actually.
And why
finally,
is that?
Well, finally, they have an official hot dog.
Didn't they used to have Ballpark Franks way back in the day?
No. This is the first time that, like, look, I know they've in never LA, had an official. Farmer John.
Okay.
Right? And it probably Dodger Dogs are still Farmer John. I don't even know what it means that they're the official.
Does that mean that every hot dog sold in every ballpark is going to be a Nathan's hot dog?
I don't think so. What I think it means is Nathan's paid them some money so that they can say that, we're the official hot dog. Mm-hmm. And literally no stadiums will be adjusting whatsoever. That's right. What my guess is.
Yeah. I always cracks me up about that. You know, we're the official sponsor of Major League Baseball, the Olympics, the Super Bowl, you know, the World Cup, go on and on.
It's usually a complete joke, but I will tell you a story, John, having grown up in Los Angeles. I will tell you a story about a grocery store named Vons.
Mm-hmm.
That was an official sponsor of the Los Angeles Olympics. And Vons, which was going sort of out of business at the time, made themselves a sponsor, the grocery store sponsor of the 84. Is it 84 Olympics? Yeah, 84. Now, I don't know if you remember the 84 Olympics, but there were no Eastern Bloc countries.
Right. I do remember that. We won a boatload of medals.
It was a heyday for America. You want to talk about great days in American history? We won all the medals. You know who lost? McDonald's, because they were giving away the free Big Mac with a gold, free fries with a silver, free drink with a bronze. I'm telling you, I scarfed as much as I could. There were so many gold medals. There were so many Big Macs, John. There were so many French fries, all free. Free. It was delicious. But you know who actually won? Vons. Vons was going out of business. Around L.A., there were a few places that had been converted to John's.
Really?
I guess because they were been bought out and didn't want to change the name completely. But yeah, Vons was completely saved by being sponsors for the L.A. Olympics. I don't think Nathan's needs that. But hey, you know, you never know.
And that's great. That's a good little bit of information.
Yeah. So next time you wonder whether it's a good idea for your company to sponsor the Olympics or some other sporting event, just think, you could be Vons.
You could be Vons.
And you might avoid being John's by being Vons. Of course, you could be McDonald's and lose all your money.
I think they recovered okay.
They did recover okay, John, but a lesser company would not have survived.
That's true. And I'm sure there's probably a story out there somewhere of a company that did go all in and then doesn't exist anymore.
Not on the 84 Olympics, man.
No, not on the 84.
That was win, win, win all the way around.
Well, do you remember back in the, this is a completely different aside, but back there in the late 90s, the Super Bowl ads with all the tech companies that no longer exist? So they were spending millions of dollars for 30 seconds, and some of those companies they're not around anymore. So
yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, yeah. So let's move on.
Maybe they would have been around if they had been official sponsors.
Yeah, there's a story there.
Yeah, or if they were the official. Can you imagine if those tech companies were the official hot dogs of MLB? Where would they be right now?
They might be much higher up on their stock prices right now.
Yes.
Okay, so now we got to move into the starting nine. What do you have for us for this week?
So it's fantasy baseball week, right? It's the last week of preseason. Most people are doing their fantasy baseball drafts. Yeah. I actually have two more drafts coming up. I did one this weekend.
How many leagues are you in?
I am in four.
Wow.
So I did two already, and I've got two more. And one's a money league, and one's just friends who I enjoy beating every year. those are the best kind of friends. But so it's fantasy baseball week, so we're going to do nine players, baseball players, with fantasy names.
Oh, this could be interpreted a million different ways.
No. Like, you know, fantasy, like Harry Potter and...
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you might have gone a little darker with that.
No, not like sexual fantasies.
I don't know with you. I really don't.
Lance Lynn for Ginger Lynn, right?
That's good comedy right there. Right on the spot, too.
All right, cool. So let's do this. I got a couple of good ones here. I like this one a lot. I don't know if there's any zingers on this one, but it's pretty fun. Okay, so first one, I had to go Lord of the Rings, and this is probably the weakest one, but I went with Sam Wise Ganji Dyson. Sam Dyson.
Okay.
And then I have...
I thought there was a guy named Sam Wise Gendy. I'm like, what? What?
No. I wish.
Who is he?
I wish.
Go ahead.
AJ Puck, and then there's Puck from, you know, A Midsummer Night's
thing. Shakespeare thing. Yeah,
Shakespeare. That's fantasy, right? So Puck?
Yeah. All right. That's good.
Rugned Hodor, right? Game of Thrones?
Yes.
All right. This is a fantasy that's not like a literary fantasy, though in some ways it is. I've got Carlos Santana.
That's good.
Right?
Yes, that works.
Willy Wonka Peralta.
Okay, yes.
Right? Uh-huh. Willy Peralta from the Brewers. He's got the elevated fastball that outperformed his peripherals last year. For those of you who are... Yeah, it's a deep, you know, deep league selection, NL only, you know, solid pick. This is sci-fi fantasy, but I figure, you know, why not? Aaron Judge, Dredd.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
This is back to regular fantasy or whatever. Josh Bell, right? From Beauty and the Beast, topical.
Okay, yes, very nice.
Right, Bell.
Bell.
I've got Chris.
Is this one of your good ones?
Chris Herman, the catcher from the Diamondbacks. That's like Hermione. That's almost like Hermione.
We got a Harry Potter theme going here. Maybe you should do one on that.
I couldn't think of a Harry or a Potter. Yeah
that's true.
Yeah.
Harry. There's
right.
got to be a
here,
Harry.
Mix it up a little. Miracle Max Scherzer, right? Miracle
mm-hmm.
Max,
mm-hmm.
right? Princess Bride. Hello, fantasy.
You're selling these hard.
Atreyu Turner. Never Ending Story. Atreyu. Trey Turner. See? Atreyu. Anyone?
No.
Seen Never Ending Story?
No, I've never seen it.
You've never seen it? All right. No, I just went like 8 octaves up.
You
You've
did.
Never seen Never Ending Story? It's like available on all the things, man. You have a kid, too. You should have seen this.
I never saw it.
A friend of mine was...
Is that
was
the one where he's riding a dragon thing
you
in
You mean
sky?
Falcor? Yes! What is
but isn't
wrong
it really
with you?
Cheesy? It's a cheesy movie, isn't it?
Have you been hacked by the Russians, John?
No.
Are you one of Putin's puppets? Only a Putin puppet wouldn't know the Neverending Story. Come on. Look it up.
I'll look it up.
You better watch it before the next podcast, or this is over. And then last but not least, Daniel Hudson. Hudson being Bill Paxton's character in Aliens. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
What else?
That was just a little moment of silence.
Yeah, a little moment of silence there for Bill Paxton, one of the greats.
And the first film that
Game
I,
Over, man.
I remember seeing
Game
him
over.
In was the comedy Weird Science.
Yes.
And he was over You're the
Steve top.
He was over the top hysterical in that. It was really
but
good.
First I'd like to butter your muffin.
Yeah, he was really good in that. Come a long way from that
yes.
role.
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. Let's move on to the preseason preview.
Yeah.
And I believe this is our final.
This is our last one.
Our last
How
one.
Perfectly did we time this out, John?
There must have been some planning involved in that.
No, there was no planning involved. It's spectacular.
So we've done all the other divisions. We're last but not least, NL Central.
Yeah.
And was that in honor of the Cubs being the world champs? You figured you'd leave the best for last?
No.
Or no
completely
planning
random.
There. Random, okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, what we've been doing is going through FanGraphs preseason preview and who they're projecting to win. So what we have in the NL Central, no surprise, the Cubs with 94 wins. And then
they'll wind up with more than that, but yes, that's the projection.
And then a steep drop down to the Cardinals at 84, Pirates at 80, followed by the Brewers at 71 and the Reds at 68, which I think is way too much for the Reds.
Very generous.
Yeah.
But I think these projection systems also sort of max out on the top and the bottom. Like
they
I don't
do.
Think
they do. They're
they go
ultra
up. I don't
conservative.
Think they go up to 100.
Yeah, they're conservative on. They never go high, and you never see a team that they weren't projecting any the Astros back a few years to lose, you know, three seasons in a row of 100 games.
Right. It takes low talent and some bad things happening, and then even injuries and stuff, and yeah. Which because technically I guess is a bad thing happening. In some cases it's good, but most cases injuries are considered bad. So to get down below, you know, down to like 62 wins or 58 wins or whatever, but I'm seeing this Reds team more like a 58 win team than a 68 win team.
Yeah. And will this be the year that they, cause they got rid of Phillips. Will they dump Votto? But Votto said last year, I want to stay here, which I don't quite understand why, but.
The thing. I don't think his contract
is
gets
movable.
You much back.
Yeah.
I think it's movable, right? Like, I think you could move it, but unless you're going to eat it.
Which they probably would have to eat a portion of it, for sure.
Right. And so why not just keep him if he likes being there and isn't like, oh, I need to go win a World Series or whatever, because you're not going to win one in the Reds for the next 5 years.
No.
But some of their moves, some of their offseason moves are good. The cops are coming for me here. some of their moves were good. They seem to be headed in the right direction. They've got a couple of nice players, prospects coming up. They need their pitching staff to settle down, but I mean, this is like half the teams in this league need their pitching staff to settle down, but they have Amir Garrett, one of their top prospects. I think Keith Law had him at like top 15 prospect. He's on the starting rotation.
Yep. They just announced that, I think, yesterday.
Yeah. Starting the season on the big squad. So, of course, he's a little bit, I think he's 25 or something like that. So he's 24. Anyway, he's sort of like, they've been bringing people up younger. And so he's sort of an old young at 25, which sounds weird, but that's just the way baseball is right now. Mm-hmm. They have a messed up, we talked about this earlier, before we were recording.
Yeah, the bullpen.
The bullpen the Reds have, they have good pieces, but I don't know what they're going to do out there, whether they're just going to, like, oh, I think today maybe they're just going to, like, use tarot cards or tea leaves.
Draw straws.
Close. Yeah, draw
straws.
Rock,
paper, scissors in the bullpen.
Remember, last year was, like, the worst in the history of baseball.
Yes, it was very bad.
So,
I think they kind of dialed it in towards the last month.
Yeah.
They were horrendous in the first half of the season. Worst.
Well, I mean, they have some good arms in there, and it's just a question of they had bad luck. And some bad arms, and you get rid of some of the bad arms, and then you get rid of some of the bad luck, and maybe they're a middle of the pack bullpen, but still not that great.
What about the Brewers?
Brewers are an interesting team. They don't have any player projected to be an all-star level performance on their team, and they're the only team really that doesn't. But they're also one of the few teams that has projected positive performance from every player in their lineup. So, but it's just, you know, it's just not that much positive.
And that means the very best that they could hope for is 500.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, they still have a little bit of a pitching problem, right? Because they have Junior Guerra, Davies, Willy Wonka Peralta.
Mm-hmm. Garza has been lit up all spring too, right?
Yeah. And then who's the other one they got coming up? Hader, right? Is supposed to be kind of fun, lefty, exciting lefty, right? So, I mean, it's a middle of the pack starting rotation. The offense looks like it should be good, but this does look like their best case scenario is 75 wins. I mean, they signed Eric Thames, how I believe they're pronouncing it is Thames. It might be Thames, but it's not Timms like Marcus Timms was, even though it's spelled the same. And they got him for dirt cheap after cutting Chris Carter. They got him for $5 million a year, and he's killing it in Korea. It was even
right.
Korea, right?
Right.
Like, monster home runs, on-base percentage, steals. And so we'll see if that translates in this league. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. The projections for him, pretty much universal that he's going to be very good.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, whatever, projections are projections. So, but it's, you know, Ryan Braun might get traded. I think he's starting to get to the point where his contract isn't as horrible.
Right.
I mean, obviously, it'd be better if he went to an AL team. His PED pass is behind him, or it's in front of him. If he could go to an AL team and be the DH / left fielder, I mean, that'd be an ideal situation for him. But remember, he was rumored almost to the Dodgers last year.
Just what they needed is another outfielder.
But, you know, they need an outfielder, a consistent outfielder. Though I don't know that Ryan Braun, I mean, he's been healthy, but he just feels like he's... I mean, I think a lot of people think this, about him in fantasy baseball, or he's like the guy where it's like, this is probably the year where he gets injured again. Or his steroids stop working or whatever.
Let's hope not. I just picked him up in the draft on Sunday.
I think he's a great... I've enjoyed having him for the last couple of years on multiple teams, and he's a great performer. Home runs, stolen bases, on-base percentages, across the board.
He's a contributor. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the Pirates and the team of, you know, all the excitement going back three seasons ago that they were back in the playoffs, and upside was tremendous because of the young pitchers that they had, and here we are again projected for middle of the pack.
Right.
What happened?
Well, McCutchen deteriorated. He's no longer the MVP level guy. Polanco didn't get better like they thought.
No.
In the outfield.
Disappointment.
And he's still very good, you know.
Didn't deliver against the expectations that had been placed on him. Projections.
And Marte is fantastic.
Yes.
First base is a little bit of a problem because you got Josh Bell coming in, who is a bad outfielder, and an almost as bad first baseman. But he's a good hitter. So is he going to hit enough to make up for being a bad first baseman? Who knows? And then Jung Ho Gong... looks like he may not play this year. Right now, the government is saying you're not allowed in our country for being...
it's in the lawyer's hands
now. DUI, right? Yeah. Hit and run, DUI.
Hit and run, DUI, not only in Korea, but also potentially another country. So
in a third country, apparently. Yeah. So
that's not a good indicator.
No, he's a bad situation. Their shortstop situation, I don't remember his name, but he's not that good. And then Harrison sort of moves around a little bit.
Yes.
And I know they have some good players coming. You know, I think obviously there's Josh Bell, but then you have Tyler Glasnow, who, if he could get his stuff together, is going to be an excellent starting pitcher. I mean, he's so dominant, but just so wild. You know, crazy fastball, but so wild. And then
Taeyeon.
Yeah.
But they still have three young, good pitchers.
And then Gerrit Cole could be, you know, like he, 2015, he was very good. In 2016, he was okay and then was injured and tried to pitch through being injured and then was very bad. And so his spring has looked good. And so he could be sort of that, not necessarily ace, but, you know, second tier and a strong number two pitcher. And they have the pieces. You know, I think their bullpen isn't what it was last year or the year before, but it's close, and you never know with the bullpen really anyway. But I see them more like a 84-win team, which gets them close to that wild card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really just kind of depends. Like, they do have to play the Cardinals and the Cubs, but they get to play the Reds and the Brewers. So.
Right. Got to feast on the bottom and compete with the top.
You got to feast, though. If that's going to be the difference for them, if they break even against,
they can't go 500.
Bottom, yeah, no, exactly.
They'd have no chance.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals last year missed the playoffs for the first time in like 5-6 years. They've been in the playoffs 11 out of 13 years, and not last year though.
Yeah, we were talking about Molina. Molina's won two World Series, and he's been in four.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been up since 2003 or something like that. So. Like, the Cardinals have done well, but, you know, they've fallen off a little bit here, and it's a little, you know, they have Alex Reyes out for the season with Tommy John.
Tough, like, they were tough loss.
They were counting on him, but, you know, last year they lost Peralta at the beginning of the season and just stuck in Aledmys Diaz, who wound up being the hottest shortstop in the league.
And they do that every year. Somebody gets plugged
they
in that winds up
that.
Having it was like, who is this guy again?
Well, you know, one of their tricks is, John, is, I won't say it's their only trick, but one of their main tricks is they keep guys down in the minors longer than most teams so that when they come up, they're better.
They're ready.
They're ready.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also then they maximize their peak years with the Cardinals. So it's sort of like a long-term plan, and it's very smart. It's very smart. We have a similar thing in our fantasy baseball league where we can have minor league players and you can keep them down for a little bit longer, mm-hmm. and it makes them more valuable down the road. And this is what the Cardinals do. They keep their players more valuable, make them learn at the minor league levels where they're making less money.
But one of the things that they wind up doing very well, though, is they develop players that are not necessarily, you know, your top prospect types,
right?
And that they're in the top 100. They're not dominating the first half of the list.
That's right.
But their players, when they come up, they perform. They deliver.
That's exactly right.
And then it's of course usually they got that great closer
last year, the final boss, the O, uh-huh. O-H. His last name is O-H. I don't know the rest of his name, but that was a great free agent acquisition by them. Cheap, great pitcher from Korea.
So where do you think they're going to go this year?
I mean, I see them as 84 wins. I see them as being a wild card bubble team. You know, I don't like their pitching staff. I don't like Adam Wainwright. If he comes back a little bit to where he's at, then good, but you're still in trouble there. I like Carlos Martinez quite a bit, but again, he's kind of like that Garrett Cole level where it's not quite an ace. It's that second level of guys, those number two guys. Yeah. Pretty darn good. And you want on your team, but is he the guy? And then what about the rest of the team? And they have a good bullpen. They have good defense. I like the Fowler signing for this year. I don't like the length of the contract. I don't like what he's going to be in two or three years. I think that's a sunk cost in 3 years. I think Molina is going to be down this year at catcher. And it's a good – and it's a weird team, right? They have Gyorko and Peralta and Colton Wong who are going to – alternating in and out of second and third, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Aledmys Diaz at short, who I guess every now and then will sit for Gyorko as well.
Although Wong was all upset that he was not going to be the everyday second baseman and kind of...
And then he wasn't upset.
Yeah,
because
all
he
of
realized
a sudden.
It made him look like a big dick.
It's like, wah, I'm being paid lots of money, wah. I'm on a good team in probably one of the best baseball cities in the United States. Wah. Okay, I'm good. I'm done. They're like, well, Colton, where are you going to go, bud? Where are you going to play? Who's going to?
Well, you can go to the minors if you want, Colton. And he was like, never mind. I love being a
platoon
player.
More than happy to play every day down there. Okay, so I guess we're saving the very best for last for our projections and preseason previews with the Cubs.
As it turns out, yes, the very best will be the very last. The best team in the league last year, the best team in the league this year.
Potentially even better this year.
No.
Maybe not the closer in the closer spot, but they could be a better team.
No.
You don't think so?
No. Last year's team was just perfect. Like the best defense in the history of baseball. Like, come on. There's going to be some regression. You got Kyle Schwarber out in left field. Sure, he can hit, but.
Okay, so they'll score more runs.
But he's not that's not how it works, John.
Well, all they have to do is outscore their opponents more than
they got rid of Dexter Fowler. They're replacing them with empty bats to play defense. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're not going to score more runs. They're going to score the same amount of runs and have a slightly less defense, but maybe their pitching will be a little bit better, a little bit less lucky. I think that they're not going to be as great as they were last year, but they're still great. They're the greatest in the league. But they're not going to be better. Come on. John.
Dynasty.
I will bet you right now.
Dynasty.
I will bet you $10 million.
I'm not a betting man.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't have $10 million, so there you go.
There's a solid bet.
I'll bet you $100 billion.
That I don't have $100 billion.
No, I mean, what's the weakness on this team, right? Like, their fifth starter is a question mark.
And who's in center field?
They have too many good players.
Who's playing center field this year?
Where they're going to do that John Jay /
okay. So that is definitely a notch below what they had with Fowler.
Yeah.
Fowler had a fantastic year last year.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a good. And Hayward will probably be a little bit better in right. And Schwarber, of course, will play the whole season. I think there's going to be value there.
Well, one of
Rizzo
the,
and Bryant on the corners, yes. And then Russell might be a little bit better this year. Gets a little older, and then Zobrist at second and left with Baez being defensive whiz wherever they need him. I think catcher, they're putting Contreras there, right?
Yeah, it's just dominant lineup.
Really. It's a pretty dominant lineup. He's one of those guys where unless in fantasy baseball, if your team is going up against them, unless it's one of your aces, just bench the pitcher.
Right.
Don't even bother. It's like going into Coors Field or going into the Red Sox last year. I don't know if are the Red Sox the same as last year? Probably pretty much, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so unless it's an ace, just bench him. You don't want to mess around with that Cubs team. They're going to be scoring a lot of runs.
So now we've gone through all of the preseason previews. Do you have – maybe we should do that next week, talk a little bit about who we think is going to win.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. We'll do playoffs and all that stuff. Yeah. Wild cards and who's going to win it all. And
postseason awards and all that fun stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can do that a couple days into the season. No one's going to be
like, they had an advantage.
Like, okay, then we give up our prize
money. Rizzo hit 3 home runs on opening day. What
we
the
give
hell?
Up our prize money, right?
Yes.
The prize of $0.
And that's it's a crapshoot every year. And I usually like to, whenever I do these prediction stuff and when we used to do them on the Through the Fence baseball website, I would always pick somebody as that you wouldn't expect to go, because otherwise you're winding up picking the people that are expected to go. And what fun is that?
Right.
So there'll be some, potential surprise teams out there this year. When I look at the projections for the NL Central, it's like the Cubs really have no competition within the division.
Right.
They're going to beat up on the Pirates, Brewers, and the Reds. They'll probably, be 600 against the Cardinals, which is a lot of games played amongst those four teams, and they're going to do very well.
I mean, I see them winning 100 games. They're projected for 94, but they are going
to win
100 games.
I would agree with that, too.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to – that wraps up the baseball portion of the show. Now we're going to move into extra innings.
Yes.
Where we take a look at what's going on outside of the world of baseball. And probably the biggest news, and I am an Oakland Raiders fan, have been ever since I was about 6 years old. So that's a long time. I go back to the Daryl LaMonica days. But the Raiders have been, by a 31-1 positive vote by the owners, have been approved to move to Las Vegas.
Moving to Vegas. Can you imagine the Raiders in Vegas?
It's just going to be weird.
First of all, I think if you're trying to replicate the XFL, this is the move.
He hate me.
Like the Raiders going to Vegas. I know for a while they were talking about not moving there because, we don't want to be. And it's like, you know what? People bet on us anyway. Who cares?
Well, what broke the ice for that was the NHL is an expansion team that's starting there next year. The Vegas Golden Knights, which is probably the worst name for a hockey team, I think, in the history of sports names.
It's such a terrible name, John, that someone once told me that was the name, and it immediately concussed me, and I had forgotten until you just mentioned it right now. It amnesia'd me. It was so bad it amnesia'd me, and now you're telling me as if I'm hearing it for the first time, though there's a trace of like, I think I've been told that before.
Yeah.
That's a terrible name.
It is a terrible name, but now they're going to have
butt wipers. Like, go with Vegas butt wipers.
They're going to have company with the Raiders. I hope they go with the Las Vegas Raiders, not Vegas Raiders. Las Vegas Raiders got a little bit of a ring to it, but it's interesting because the Raiders were 22 years in Oakland before they moved to LA. Then I think they were in LA for 12 or 13 years. Then they moved back for 22 years to Oakland. And now they're off. Is it going to be just 12 years to, and then back to Oakland? Who knows?
Well, here's the thing, right? Like the big thing is the Oakland Stadium, right? Like this thing is the bane of the sports existence. Like you have the Oakland A's lost their small market status, right? So they're not going to have as much money as they have had. The stadium, no one wants to go out and watch a baseball game there. The city's not going to replace it, which, frankly, I don't think any city should pay for anything. I think the billionaire owners should pay for the billion-dollar stadiums. I mean, maybe you give them some tax credits or something, but actually pay for building
but
it.
But something just doesn't sit well with me as a fan of a sport. when you have both the A's and the Raiders have been talking about, talking with the city of Oakland, talking with whoever about replacement fields in Oakland to avoid moving from Oakland. The A's have been talking about it for almost a decade.
Right. But, you know, part of the problem also is the other sports franchises in the area won't let them move.
Right,
so they have to put it in Oakland.
Yeah, they had a Fresno was big. They had a whole deal put in place there, but it just got killed.
Yeah, and there was a San Jose one for a little while, but San Francisco stepped in and said, no, we own San Jose, or we that's our rights, blah, blah, blah. And fine. No Oakland teams.
No, so you're now it's the Warriors have the Warriors are moving to San Francisco.
Exactly.
Next year, so
no, it's like fine. Yeah. I have one of my best friends lives in Oakland. I think it's a shame.
Yeah, it's
an ex. You know what? I think I have an ex girlfriend that lives in Oakland, or at least she moved there at one point. She moved there after we broke up. She's married now.
Okay,
but I don't know if she still lives there.
So
does this matter?
Not really.
Hey, listener, do you care where my exes wind up? Let me know.
So next up, USA.
I'm at John Sumple on Twitter.
So in your favorite sport, besides baseball, soccer or football, USA ties Panama in a World Cup qualifier. I'm pretty sure you have nothing to say other than
I have two things to say about this, John.
Okay, go
First
ahead.
Of all, why are people celebrating that they tied? Second of all, to Panama?
Yeah.
We invaded Panama, man. We don't play them. We don't lose to them or tie them in soccer. That's what's wrong with your sport. If your sport allows Panama to be as good as the United States, man, that's a screwy sport. That's messed up.
Yeah, celebrating ties. I've never been able to quite.
But hey, look, we got this tie in this qualifier. Great.
Hey, look, we wound up exactly where we were before we started 2 hours ago.
We didn't wind up worse.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. You know what? And maybe in the modern world, that's enough. But to me, sports is about winning and losing and certainly not losing to frickin' Panama.
Speaking of losing, Brexit.
Or is it winning?
Depending on the way you want to look at it. So what's the big Brexit, the vote? I guess the Article 20 or whatever it's
Article
called.
50, man.
50.
They dropped it.
They signed it this week, and
here
we go.
Yeah.
It's 2 years now, by 2019, the whole...
Oh, I don't know the logistics of it, but UK's out. They're like, you know what, Europe, no thanks.
And the next thing that's going to be coming up, which will just throw everything to chaos again, Scotland tried to secede a couple years ago, and it got voted down, but post-Brexit, now there's a tremendous amount of support for that to happen. And if that happens, Scotland wants to stay in the EU... And that
would
just
be a weird little thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. It's just a crazy world that we live in, and it's all Trump's fault.
Is it? No, this happened before Trump.
No, it's populism. It's all about the whole populism thing that's gaining.
The
Brexit thing though is just so funny.
Europe's
where people
got some
like,
weird problems, and they're being manipulated by international bankers in a way that is somewhat shocking.
And also some pretty stupid people too when they sit there and say like, "Well, I voted for it, but I never thought it was going to win." There was tremendous buyer's remorse, day after.
That feels a little bit like a few guys were found that did that.
There was quite a bit.
Look, if it's a country and the majority of the people voted for it, regardless of the reasons, I'm sure there were people voted against it for such silly reasons as that as well. It's not like this isn't like Trump and Clinton, where like everyone that voted for Trump is a racist idiot and everyone that voted for Clinton is the super smart, all welcoming, all understanding person. That's not how things are. And so the people that voted for Brexit, who voted for that, sure, maybe 50% of those people were stupid. But you're telling me that 50% of the people that voted to remain weren't stupid? There's stupid people everywhere, John. Look around you, my man. Don't be fooled. They are everywhere.
Oh,
they're voting.
I agree. That's the problem, is that they're low information voters, and they go with what they hear. And then when it doesn't turn out the way they thought it was going to turn out, they're going to go screaming and yelling.
Exactly.
Speaking of screaming and yelling.
Yes.
Bob Dylan, after reluctantly... Well, not even reluctantly, just ignoring the fact that he won a Nobel Peace Prize, has decided that he will actually pick it up. He's not going to the formal award ceremony.
He's just stopping by while he's in Stockholm. This is one of the weirdest stories in the world. I don't know why everyone's not giving this more attention. First of all, my question is, are they giving him the Nobel Prize hoping he'll show up and maybe clarify what some of the lyrics actually are? Because I have trouble believing that a bunch of Swedes sat around going, gonna get some oh yeah, that's some of the best literature ever. That's a Nobel Prize for literature right there.
He's a poet.
He's a poet. The man can use words. We're not sure what those words are, but let's give him anyway. So then he doesn't acknowledge this for a good couple months, right? That he's been given Nobel Prize, which for the most part means something, unless it's like when Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize for having been elected, which is technically speaking not really what you get.
Yeah, it's like he was given the award before he even did anything to merit the award.
Yeah, that's, plus all just the bombings and the wars that followed is a little bit incongruous with the award. But anyway, African-American becoming president is a big deal, and I'm just not sure that was the award that should have been given in that moment. And I'm not sure that, like, shouldn't you want to check with Bob Dylan to see if, like, he's going to be into this?
Well, maybe they did it on purpose. A little reverse psychology is that they knew that he wouldn't respond to it, and they've been able to milk this in the media for quite a while. So it's
because they're trying to raise their market share of the Nobel Prize.
Right. To the younger generations, millennials are like, "What the hell is a Nobel Prize?"
It's a Nobel Prize.
Nobel Prize. What's this Nobel Prize you speak of?
I'll tell you, millennials. It's a sort of award to give you the prize.
Are you a Dylan fan?
Tangentially, you know, like, I don't have any of his music anywhere in any way, but I enjoy hearing it when it comes on in movies or in the radio or whatever.
Well, the answer, my friend, is Blowing in the Wind.
Perfecto, my friend.
And on that note,
let's Brexit this show.
Out.